Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 427. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. We'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge, including the postage and handling. Everything's paid for. God paid the price for my soul, to save my soul, and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and they didn't charge a penny for it. And we here at the Alamo Christian Ministries don't charge one penny for anything that we send out, even Bibles. We have some real good music, I believe, and we've got strong message and testimonies. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, there isn't any message in the world that would mean anything at all unless it was you piping through the person that's bringing it. I ask that you minister through me, that it's you doing this message, Lord. Anoint everyone that's involved with it, the engineer, the reader, and myself, Father. Bring out of me the very things that you'd like to have heard on the radio today, and that the souls in the world will be saved, and the church not only saved, but strengthened in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Now, in the Garden of Eden, we see some problems there. There was sin, and they kicked Adam and Eve. God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. And then Cain killed Abel. Cain was the evil brother, and Abel was the good brother. And when the Lord asked him, "Where's your brother at?" he asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" And he says, "I don't know. I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" This is something that you don't want the Lord to say to you. He'd curse you for saying such a thing as that, because you are your brother's keeper. And that's what this song is about. Jeannie Fricke, who's not a big star, was one of the background singers on this, and C.C. Couch, who was a Columbia recording artist at the time, and I think she still is, and several other very talented people are backing me up as I'm singing the lead on "You Are Your Brother's Keeper." Yes, you are.
Last night I had the strangest dream. A dream that seemed so real. A mighty force had carried me back to this ancient field. And then a voice came to me, saying, "Be not filled with fear. Bear witness to the things you see, and everything that you hear."
I saw Cain kill his brother in the garden, and I heard the Lord ask Cain where Abel was. "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" He was punished then for spilling Abel's blood. Then I heard the Lord tell Noah, before the sky turned dark, "Everyone but you and your shall pass away. I see all my children sinning, and it grieves me in my heart. Then I watched as God and Noah built the ark." Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was, yes he was. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was. God saw his children sinning, and it grieved him in his heart. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was. I saw Samson single-handed stop 1,000 evil men, and Joshua fight the battle at Jericho. can stop Goliath and then become a king. They were their brother's keeper, don't you know?
You are your brother's keeper, yes you are, yes you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are.
God sees his children sinning, and it grieves him in his heart. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are. Yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. Yes, you are. God sees his children sinning, and it hurts him in his heart. You are your brother's keeper. Yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
You are your brother's keeper. There's so many people that fell away after the death of Joshua, and then also again after the death of the judges. It didn't seem like there was anybody around really to preach the gospel. Everybody had fallen away from the Lord, and also they said that they did only what they thought was right in their own eyes, and that seems to be what the case is of a lot of people today. Not everybody, but it's for sure a lot of people. They will just do what's right in our own eyes. And they think it's a waste of time to study the Bible, but the Bible says if you don't study the Bible, you won't know what to do in the day of trouble. The Lord tells us something in Psalm number 50, verse 15, chapter Psalm 50, verse 15. It says, "For us to call upon me, God, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." This doesn't pertain to people that don't pay any attention to his word. This is talking to David, who was keeping his word and studied his word and even wrote a lot of the word of God. His son Solomon as well. And the wisdom and knowledge of these two individuals was amazing. And if we're to call upon the name of the Lord in the day of trouble, how about when we don't have any trouble? Amen?
Amen.
The Lord will even love you all the more if you call upon him on a daily basis, even when there is no trouble. But it's for sure, God will allow a lot of things to happen to people so that it forces them into calling upon the Lord, turning away from God after the death of the judges. That's Judges 2:19. So there was a four-part sequence repeatedly occurring in this phase of Israel's history. One was the departure, Israel's departure from God. And when I say God, remember always that God is the Word. Now, the Word of God tells you what's going to happen to you if you depart from His Word. And number two, is, when you depart from the Word of God, God is not your your shield, your strong arm, and you have no one to turn to but God. Then God's chastisement. When people leave God, well, then chastisement comes upon them. God creates an environment for you to not like so that you will call upon him. And then people get angry at God and they start shaking their fists at him. Some of the chastisements happen when somebody that you love, God will just take him out into eternity. And you'll say, "Why did God do this? I hate God." Look at you. It will do you no good to hate God. God's chastisement also is in permitting military defeat happen to you and puts you under subjection to people that are evil. And that's what's happening to much of the world today. How much more of this horrible judgments in court do you want to see? How much more of the atrocities in judgment in evil courtrooms today do you want before you call upon the name of the Lord? And then when you get enough of it, then you will do as Israel did. They'll pray, pleading for deliverance from the kind of treatment that people are getting in court in prisons, and if we're God, then if you pray and you really start getting back to the Word of God, which is God, then God will raise up judges or deliverers, which means it doesn't make sometimes he'll raise up somebody from the civil government. And when the Lord says to obey the law, that means his government. That means the Bible. So sometimes, though, he'll get a hold of somebody in civil government, and sometimes local military champions, as he did in the book of Judges, who led in them in shaking off the oppressors. 14 judges rose up, 6 of them military judges. Othniel, Ehud, Deborah, Gideon, Jephthah, and Samson, 2 men of special significance or contrast in spiritual leadership. They were all different. There's a lot of other judges like Eli and that judged Israel at that time. And we're going to be reading from the book of Judges today. Samuel was a judge, really a very powerful judge. And Samuel was the son of a man that had 2 wives. Amen?
Amen.
And Samuel was also a priest and a prophet and a very good example. So the book of Judges stands in a complete contrast to Joshua. Joshua obeyed, and with the obedient people of Israel at that time, they totally conquered the land through trust in the power of God, God's word. When God says something in his word, it isn't, you know, just a story to read. It's an example to show you the way to live your life out. Yeah, God wants you to live. He wants to for you to allow him to live out his life in you. So far as when people keep the commandments of the Lord, they can conquer any land. Now, we've been harassed for ever since I've been saved. That's 43 years ago. Almost next month, September, will be 43 years. And I know that God has always intervened for us. There have been times that we've gone through horrible persecution. And whatever it was, I'd seek the Lord on it and find out there was things that I wasn't doing that he wanted me to do. And when I found out what it was, I immediately did it. And God would deliver me. In Judges, however, disobedient and idolatrous people are defeated over and over again. In Joshua, God was with them everywhere, all the time, and except in the case of one person. And now the people are defeated time and time after Joshua because of their rebellious lives they were living against God's word. In 7 distinct cycles of sin, they sinned, they were oppressed, God put oppressive people over them, and then came the salvation when they cried out to the Lord. The deliverance. The book of Judges shows how Israel had set aside God's word or his law. We must live according to God's law unless we want to be oppressed for the rest of our lives. They were absolutely disobedient to him in the book of Judges. And in its place, they substituted what was right in their own eyes. That's chapter 21, verse 25. The reoccurring result of abandonment from God's word or his law is corruption from within and oppression from without. As I've said many times, God creates an environment for people that are not living according to reality. Some of you hear people say, well, we're living in the real world. No, God is the real world. Amen?
Amen.
If you're not living in the kingdom of heaven, you're not living in the real world, because this world is going to pass away. It's not real at all.
Amen.
It's temporary. During the nearly 400 years, which was spanned by the book of Judges, God raises up military champions to throw off the yoke of bondage and to restore the nation of Israel to pure worship. But all too soon, you know, it's just like a bum that gets a hamburger in their stomach and they find a cigar butt in the gutter. They put it in their mouth and, boy, they ain't going to tell you, you know, how to run the world. But all too soon, that's what happens after they get the wrinkles out of their belly and a puff of cigar smoke in their lungs. The sin cycle begins again as the nation's spiritual temperature got colder and colder. The Hebrew title is Shoftim. That means judge. As a matter of fact, when I was in Israel, I lived on the street called Shoftim. It was called Rehov Shoftim, which means the street of the judges. The only other people that lived in that building beside myself were the UN people. They lived many other places, but they lived in my apartment house where I lived. Rulers, deliverers, is what judges are, or the word means also saviors, rulers, deliverers, or saviors. Shoftim not only carries the idea of manifesting justice and settling disputes, but is also used to mean liberating and delivering. First, the judges deliver the people of Israel. Then they rule them and administer justice. The Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, of course, all Bible was written by the Jews, except many people contend that the book of Luke was written by a Gentile. But he, of course, wasn't there when it all happened, but he... Luke went around from different people that knew the Lord and saw the different things and confirmed the stories they all told, and then wrote what the Lord had given him. He was in the Spirit. So the Septuagint used the Greek word, which is a little bit different here. It's called K-R-I-T-A-I, or in other words, the same word. Kit, AI, means the same thing as judges. The Latin Vulgate, which is the Bible that the Catholics use, call it some other long word, L-I-B-E-R-J-U-D-I-C-U-M, Liber Judicum. The Book of Judges could also appropriately be called the Book of... To me, a lot of people say it could be called the Book of Failures, but I don't believe it's a Book of Failures. It shows how the ridiculous, stupid people fail God, but really they're not failing God, they're failing themselves, because mm-hmm. God's going to call down a lot of condemnation on you, and you're going to wish to God sometimes that you weren't even born, because God will take a loved one of yours, or he'll give you some dreaded disease that you won't be able to face, or you go to prison. So a lot of people that I've met said they couldn't even spend one day in prison. They just couldn't. But it'll happen. So there's a lot of motivation that God gives us for reading his word and obeying it. But the book that some people say is called the Book of Failures, but I call it a book of delivering... God's deliverance over a bunch of failures. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what it's all about, Elfie, is the Book of Judges. We're going to get to that, but first, let's have a couple of testimonies. Where is the first testimony from?
from Lawrence, Kansas.
Okay.
On the 24-hour witnessing line, a caller named Jamie wanted to personally talk to Pastor Lamo to tell him exactly how she found his literature to be powerful, inspirational, and life-changing. Both Jamie and her husband want to be on the mail list for all of Alamo Ministries literature and for all the radio broadcast interviews Pastor Lamo has done with Greg Zemanski, especially the broadcast of Tony's personal testimony. She said she'd be waiting and watching for her mail.
Okay, now one of the things that I want to warn Los Angeles of, the city of Los Angeles has been persecuting us for 43 years, and the Lord is sick and tired of it. And one of the things that I'd like to do is to warn you people that are bugging us for no reason at all except the fact that you want to take over our property on Sierra Highway. The Lord is telling me to warn you that he'll take your life. Now, there are some people in the Arkansas area here and all over, even in Los Angeles. And the West Hollywood Sheriff Department was coming down on us. They come into our church in the middle of the night. We have a 24-hour prayer chain. And in this church on Crescent Heights Boulevard, our church, in West Hollywood, they would come in and they'd throw tear gas down into the prayer room. And then when people would try to escape, there was only one entrance out of there. These rotten people that call themselves West Hollywood Sheriff Department would shut the door on them and keep them in there with that tear gas in there. And then when some of them would push hard enough and get out, they'd beat them up with billy clubs and their flashlights and things. I want you to know that every single one of those people except one of the police officers, one of the sheriffs, quit because he couldn't stand what they were doing to our people, and all the rest of them were killed in battle. One way or the other, they were all killed. Then there's just so many testimonials like that. There's hundreds of them, actually, where people fell dead because they were persecuting us. And now, right currently today, and you can check on it, in the city of Fauk, Arkansas, I warned the people here because they were telling, polyparroting all kinds of lies. They never met me before. But they were polyparroting lies that they heard the government say about us, and they just were trying to even get a lynch mob against us, and that was the, some of the city council. A lot of the city council now are with us because they saw. I told them God is going to take care of them. They said, hire an attorney. I said, no, God said he's going to take care of them. And when he says that, I know the voice of God, and I know what he means. Now, what he said is that he's going to take care of them. Okay, one of them has got a golf ball tumor up their rectum, and they really don't have a lot of money, some of these people in this town. Another one has a tumor the size of a grapefruit right in the front of their stomach. Another one who claims to be a Pentecostal preacher fell dead three times in his pulpit. This can be checked. This just recently happened. God is fed up with you people there. And especially you people in Los Angeles, so you better listen real good. Because you're either going to repent and knock it off, or God's going to kill you. Now that's not coming from me, folks, that's coming from the Lord. Then there's another person that had a stroke, and he can't move anymore. He can't really talk. And then there's another one that has cirrhosis, he's all of a sudden got cirrhosis of the liver. And so the rest of them have stopped. They've begun, so to speak. Now, I don't want these people to die. I didn't want those West Hollywood Sheriff Department people to die because the Lord called me to win sinners, and they are really sinners. The people in the Vatican are really sinners, and we're not against them. We're trying to our best to lead you to salvation so that you don't have to suffer the outward manifestations of chastisement that God will do to you. And sometimes he'll chasten you inwardly where you'll get cancer of the liver, the pancreas, the heart, the brain, somewhere. Or the breast, because we've had many people in the Los Angeles government do these things. So I'm warning you people, lay off or God's going to kill you. Okay? when I'm saying lay off, I mean also repent, because if you don't repent, and the Lord takes your life some way or another, because it could be a huge earthquake there, and then you wouldn't have anybody to harass anymore if the Lord took you, right? Mm-hmm. So, or you wouldn't be able to harass anyone anymore. Maybe the Lord would just keep us around because we're up there high in the mountains. If a flood comes from Castaic Lake or something, if it breaks loose on you. You know, you people feel that you're so smart. You are no different than the people here in this little town of Fauk, Arkansas. Back off for your own good, all right? Now, God has had it with you. Now you're again coming on even more heavy-handed by telling us we got to tear our buildings down. And our buildings have been grandfathered in there in Los Angeles for over 70 to maybe even 100 years. And we've brought them up to code many times. And they are wonderful buildings. And we've been holding services in there. We've never had any fire or floods happen to us. And those buildings just kept standing all this time. And they're even stronger and more reinforced. If you don't want things to happen to you from God, if you don't want one of your loved ones to be taken out into eternity and judged and sent to hell, then back off, because it's not necessary for you to go through this trouble. Back off. Or else. Now, we've complied with everything you said so far, but now you want us, after we put all the repairs into the different buildings, you want us to tear them down. And I've heard people saying that the reason that you're doing is that because you want to make our property public domain or whatever they call it, to where you can just take it over, because now there's a water line coming up that way. And now the property is more valuable than before. And so you just want to take it away from a bunch of stupid Christians, right? Let me tell you something, you people in Los Angeles, you're the stupid ones in government. Back off, or God is going to destroy you. Can't you understand English? Back off, so that your souls can be saved and that you're not destroyed. Well, anyway, on a lighter note, we have some testimonies here. Now, where's the next one from?
From Zimbabwe, Africa.
Okay, go ahead.
Dear Sir, Madam, I was one of those people who are not concerned about religious materials, but after listening to your program on Radio Africa, I have completely changed my attitude. I am also attending church. Thank you so much. Your message is so inspiring. Surely anyone who dares to listen to your program will not remain the same. If you can please send me a Bible and any religious materials you may offer, yours faithfully, John from Zimbabwe, Africa.
Okay, do you have another? That's it? Okay, well now Sharon is going to... I like when she reads these different Jewish names and all that, because she's gone to Hebrew school before she was a Christian, and she knows how to pronounce the names. So, and she's a good reader as well. So Sharon, let's begin with the book of Judges, chapter 1.
Verse 1, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first?
Okay, now the Canaanites were, the Lord said to go in and kill all the Canaanites because they were committing adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism. You know, Canaan, the land of Canaan is where the Sodom and Gomorrah was. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord says, you know, go in there and kill them. And the ones that you're not going to kill, I'm going to kill. And he did kill all the homosexuals and lesbians in those cities on the plain. And so he wanted who to go up for them? These people in Israel. God wanted the people of Israel, the first tribe, to go up against the Canaanites, who?
Judah.
Yeah, the tribe of Judah. Now, Jesus is the lion from the tribe of Judah. Amen?
Amen.
Judah. Then what?
Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up.
So the Lord says, you know, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he tells us to fight the good fight of faith. Amen?
Amen.
So there's nothing different than there is today, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen.
And so, but now the Bible says also in the New Testament that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual unto the pulling down of strongholds. So we pray to God, Father God, in the name of Jesus, pull down the strongholds in Los Angeles. Because, Lord, we pray that they will repent. We preach to them now for 43 years, and they still haven't. They've gotten worse. And so we have no alternative, Father, but to come to you in the name of Jesus to make them repent, Lord. And we don't want to see their souls go to hell any more than you do, but if they don't repent, Lord, do what you will with them. I ask it in Jesus' name. Beware, you people in Los Angeles government. Beware. Back off. Because the Lord has told me that he's going to destroy you one way or another, a multitude of different ways. God has a variety of ways to destroy people. He will oppress you with some viruses, incurable viruses like cancer, leukemia. You name it, there's a whole lot of different diseases, infirmities, and sicknesses that the Lord has. It's like he holds the whole deck, or he can swallow you up in a variety of millions of different ways. He could make a overpass collapse on you. He could just take the spirit out of your body, like he did to mine when he was threatening me, either tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And you know something? I had to do that, or I would be dead right now. And that happened 43 years ago in September. This next September will be 43 years ago. So beware, you know, you simpletons. Beware so that you can live. And repent so that you can live in eternity in heaven instead of going into the lake of fire. Okay, now what next, Sharon?
The Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand.
So he said, I have delivered the land into his hand. You know, folks, I listen to the Bible day and night. Don't I?
Amen.
Amen. And I listen to the talking Bible because I can't. I've got seeing machines that I can read the Bible that way, and I read other materials that way, but the Bible, I just keep that on day and night. And when the Lord is talking to me, I know his word, and I know when he's telling me that he's going to deliver me from the people, certain people, that he's going to do it. I didn't even hire an attorney over here because bunches of them have run into some very sad tribulations, if you will. All right? Now, others have been put to death here. I mean, God takes them out with a heart attack or something, you know? And so, the same, you're no different. You're just made out of the dirt of the ground, you people in L.A. and the government there. Really, repent, okay, because you're not going to last forever. And you think it's fun? I know you think that you're the big cat and we're little mice. Let me tell you something. We're the big cat. My God is the big cat, and you're like little, tiny, nothing mice. Watch and see. God says to these people that he's going to deliver them, and he told me the same thing. Now, why don't you just be nice little boys and girls and go be nice, go home, go to bed, go to work, and that's it, and leave us alone, okay, because we're not hurting anybody. We're leading dopers and everybody to Christ. And you say, well, we don't want dopers out here, the hillbillies out there in the Saugus, Newhall, Valencia area. Well, we don't want you there either, but this is my world. You know, God made this earth, not you hillbillies, all right?
Yeah.
And so I have more of a right here because I do what God says than you have here in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Because you don't do what God says, you do the exact opposite. So, again, I'm just telling you for your own good, lay off, or he's going to kill you, all right? Lay off. Okay, then what?
And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with
you. Well, this is another tribe of Israel, Simeon. He says, come on, and he tells Simeon to come on with me and fight, because... And when somebody attacks you, or when God wants you to attack somebody, I'll join with you too, with all my people from my tribe. All right? That way we'll get the job done a lot faster. Now, sometimes God would kill, with he'd instruct his people to kill, but only those that are oppressing. He never tells anybody to kill their children. Amen?
Yeah.
Or to throw their child out the window, or to throw their children, to drown their children, like you see these women do. And a lot of times these women will commit adultery. And of course, the Old Testament and even the New Testament punishment for that is to be stoned to death. But of course, the civil government says no, that they're all right. And if a woman commits adultery and her husband catches her and then he slaps her around a little bit, then it doesn't give her the right to shoot him in the brains. That's what he should do, if he finds her committing adultery, he should put her out of the house and keep her out of the house. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's a very bad situation. You don't know if that woman's caught AIDS or anything else. And you say, well, aren't you supposed to be forgiving? No, the Bible says that we are not capable, we are not allowed to forgive sin. Okay? Especially sins unto death, or blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which many of you people out there are committing. Blasphemy is not forgiven in this world or in the world to come. And we're right at the time when there's going to be the mark of the beast. There's so many people stealing each other's identity, and we're moving right into it. And what they're going to say is... Look, the people, we're going to put a mark on you now so that no one can steal your identity. Well, the Bible says if you take that mark, it's called the mark of the beast. In other words, they put a microchip in your hand or forehead. And they say, well, I don't want something on my forehead. Well, just hide it under your hairline or something, they'll say. And if you do, you'll be able to buy and sell then. But we can't trust anybody that doesn't have that chip in them. They see, the devil is very slick. He's moving into it very quickly. And many people have already taken the mark of the beast. And that's what's so wrong about you not reading the Bible. Because if you don't read the Bible, you won't know that by doing so, you're committing blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Because you're taking the government mark. The Vatican's international government mark, so that you don't even have to carry credit cards anymore. You go into a supermarket, everything is on that little chip. Everything in your hand, your right hand, or your forehead. Somebody can just, you have a basket full of groceries, and you go through the line, and they take them out. And at the end, they just run the wand across your forehead, your dopey forehead for doing such a thing, your blasphemous forehead, or your blasphemous hand. And then the money is extracted out of your bank and placed into the bank of the supermarket or the hardware store or wherever you're shopping, or the theater where you're going. And how compact, how neat, how come nobody ever thought of this before? Let me tell you something. This was thought of hundreds of years ago, and now it's just happening to you. And so the people that know the Bible, the Word, which is God, God is the Word, we're so far ahead of you, Jaspers, that it's not even funny. Amen?
Amen.
It's not funny at all. Now, you people better listen to those of us that know the Word. Am I saying I'm the only one that knows the Word of God? Oh, no, there are many of us. Amen?
Amen.
And we're the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation, that the kingdom of heaven is within. And the kingdom of heaven is within me. Amen.
Amen.
And all those of us that believe the Word of God, that are saved. And I'm going to keep the Word of God in there. That's why I know something is up. Now, it wasn't too long ago that the Lord would allow me to watch the news and some other programs on television that are telling of these end times. But he says, no, just listen to my word. Listen to my word. And he says, and by doing so, he's told me now what I did in the past by warning the people in the land. You do the same thing now, because if you don't warn them, it's going to be to you just like it was to the Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel was warned that he has to tell the people in the world what the word of God says, which is God. And if he doesn't, when the people die, that the blood of their souls would be on Ezekiel's hand. If he does tell them and they don't repent, he says, you have delivered your soul from me, from destruction, and you've delivered yourselves from the blood, yourself, Ezekiel, from the blood of the souls of the people that you didn't tell. Now he says, preach the gospel to the whole world. Preach the truth to them and tell them that the sword is coming, that I'm coming to destroy them. And if you repent, he will save your soul. But if you don't, you're going to die. And he says, now tell the same thing to Los Angeles, to the government of Los Angeles, and all the other people over there that think they're smarter than God. Okay, everybody, I'm telling. He said, you know, tell them to repent or else. That means repent or perish, amen?
Amen.
You know what perish means? Or that means go into the lake of fire. Now, the Vatican is the head of the Antichrist government. First of all, the Antichrist Church. And the Bible calls the Pope the false prophet. And again, I'm going to say it. I think I said it on one of the other broadcasts, but the Vatican keeps saying that they were the first and the oldest religion. No, they weren't. It was the Jews, and it was actually 500 years after the death of Christ that the Vatican opened the church. Well, 500 years before that, the true church of God opened on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. They were all 120 Jews sitting in an upper room praying for the baptism, waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fall upon them, because the Bible says, Jesus and John the Baptist says, ye shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me, which was Jesus, that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that's what they waited for. And they did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Peter got up, and they all speaking in different tongues, languages, because there were a lot of people there from other countries. And just the Holy Spirit, when he fell upon them and they were speaking in other languages, they were telling people. The people knew that they didn't know those languages, but they were telling, God through them was telling them things that only they knew. So they knew it was God. Okay, they knew it was God. And when Peter got through preaching, there were 3,000 souls saved, all Jews. This was the world's first Christian church. And they went and evangelized for years and years. And the Vatican persecuted them for years. 500 years. Amen?
Amen.
And put them in stakes and burned them up and put them in prisons. And crucified them. And then the Vatican opened their cult 500 and some years later. And they've been changing. It's just not the Bible. Amen?
Amen?
And so how they can possibly say that they're the first religion, I mean, they're such liars. Don't go to the Catholic Church. Anyone going to the Catholic Church and that believes in their doctrine is certainly going to hell.
Amen.
They're going to hell in the lake of fire. Okay? Now, they'll tell you the difference, that if you don't go to their cult, that you're not going to heaven. Don't believe that. Okay? Anyone going there and believing their false doctrine, you're going to spend eternity in hell, because the Word of God is unchangeable. Okay, now let's So don't take the mark of the beast because, you know, you say, how am I going to feed my son, my daughter, my children? God said he feeds the sparrows. Amen? And he even sent ravens to feed a person, Elijah, wasn't it?
Amen.
Yeah. By the river Kibar. And he sent him food during the day with a bird. And he fed the children of Israel on the desert for 40 years, didn't he?
Amen.
There wasn't any Howard Johnsons around or McDonald's or Wendy's. There was nothing out there. Even at nighttime, there wasn't even one lamppost. But the fire of God was in the heavens, and he lit up the area. And during the day when it was really hot, he shaded them with a cloud over the top of them so it didn't burn them up. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And praise the Lord when he says he's going to deliver you if you read his word and do what he says and call upon him in the time of trouble. Yeah, this is, again is Psalms 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Lord, we're just waiting for this deliverance from these people in Los Angeles, and we certainly will glorify you because we've had it up to here, Lord. And you people can't see where I'm saying up to here, but it's over my head. All right? Now repent or perish. You people, back off, or else God was going to do something terrible to you. Then what else?
I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites.
So he delivered, like he said he would, the Canaanites, these people, these fornicators, these adulterers, these homosexuals. I mean, you know, these kind of people vex my soul. They're an offense to me. These homosexuals say that we offend them. Well, who are they? They don't have God to back them up. They offend me.
Amen.
All right, now back off. Go back in the closet, you homos. You lesbos, get back in the closet. You're offensive to me and every other Christian. Now what else?
The Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men.
10,000 of you. And I wonder how many it was that he slaughtered over in the Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen?
Amen.
I wonder how many he slaughtered when he drowned the entire world for doing not as bad as what they're doing here in the world today. God's going to burn this place up with fire, folks. You know, you don't believe that? Well, history tells us that when he says something, he's going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites.
They slew them. The Canaanites and the Perizzites. I was on a panel talking one time on the phone to a panel of rabbis and cardinals, and they started laughing when I said Perizzites. They said, that's not in the Bible. That's how much these people in the Vatican and these rabbis know the Bible. It's right in your own Bible, I told them. We gave them Bible and verse, and they says, oh, you know, start coughing. They don't know the Bible. They don't know God. That's why I'm trying to, I'm teaching you. But if you have an unteachable spirit, that's on you, pal. Okay? That's on you. Then what?
But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes.
Yeah, both of them. He had only eight fingers and eight toes. Then what?
And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem, and had taken it, and smitten it with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. And afterward the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain, and in the south, and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai. And from thence he went...
See, no one could stand up against the people of God. no one, because God is the one that does the fighting for us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, sometimes he'll slay people with grasshoppers, in other words, locusts. Or sometimes he'll open the earth and swallow people down into the lake of fire or hell. And sometimes he'll send some dreaded disease to you, sometimes a tsunami, sometimes a whirlwind. But he has, a deck to play with that's bigger than anything that you even know. He knows all kinds. He lists all kinds of diseases, infirmities, and sicknesses that he can whip on you just like so easy. Or he can just yank the spirit right out of your ugly-looking body. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't make any difference how much you work out. Your body's deteriorating second by second. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Achsah my daughter to wife. And Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it.
See, Caleb and Joshua were the only two old-timers that were able to go into the land of milk and honey, the land of Canaan, because they were faithful to the Lord and they believed God all the way. They weren't afraid of the giants. The other people were, and that's why they all died out in the wilderness. They were not allowed to go into the land of milk and honey, Canaan. Only the younger people were, because they were obedient to the Lord by shutting their mouth for 7 days as they went around and around the walls of Jericho. And on the seventh day, they went around 7 times, and then they shouted and blew trumpets, and the walls came down, and they went in there and slew all those people. All right? So, you know, the people in Israel are defending themselves. They're not living according to they're not living by the sword. They're not, but they're defending themselves, and that's okay. Amen?
Amen?
Now, we don't have any guns, bullets, bombs, or anything like that. We don't defend ourselves with carnal weapons because I believe we put up patiently with you people. Now the Lord is telling me he's going to undertake for me and my church and people like us. So every one of you Christians out there that really know the Lord, band together with us in prayer that God will do something about these oppressors that are imps of the land. They are the imps of the land, Satan's imps. Okay, then what?
And he gave him Achsah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water.
Okay, and so that happens. We're going to take up from here tomorrow and make sure you tune in. But right now, it's time for salvation. And now is the acceptable time. Not tomorrow, not later on today. But right now is the acceptable time, saith the Lord. So those of you that don't know the Lord, and you don't want to be condemned by him, and you want to be blessed by him, say this prayer. Get your soul saved right now. The beginning of salvation starts out with this prayer. Say to the Lord, My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus. This is the most important part, too. Both of them, to be cleansed so that the Lord can enter into you by the Spirit and raise Jesus from the dead. And Lord, I'm asking you to do the same thing for me. Wash my sins away and raise me from my dead works. I open the door of my heart, Lord, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my dirty, filthy sins away. And even if I don't think that I've sinned that much, we all have sin on our soul. And therefore, say, wash all the sins away, my former sins. And so I have the power of you in me to not sin again. I know you won't turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Just praise and thank the Lord now. And Sharon is going to tell you how 4 different ways to receive a copy of this audio tape. tape number 427 or a CD. Now that's number 427. Program number 427. It's absolutely free. Now go ahead, Sharon.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for a continuation of the Book of Judges. I mean, this is one of the most beautiful books in the world because it shows that God really does what he tells people he's going to do. Amen?
Amen.
And he does it shows that he doesn't tolerate people when they fall away if they don't get back to him immediately. And so right now, we're going to sing another song for you. This is me with our original choir and orchestra. I'm singing for you, My God is Real. Believe that, L.A. and Vatican, all of you.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him deep within. My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like your soul. My God is real. Oh, I can feel in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn. All men deserve and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part. For God is real and I can feel my heart. My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like your gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul.